Channel Radio.
Yes, it's Who Cares Wins, and it's Angela Ryer-Stevenson here. We have chosen another recording for you to listen again to, one from our little archive list. If you're asking why we're not live, we're not in the studio. Jan and I are busy on lots of things to do with the radio show and other bits and pieces, so we can't get down to the studio, so we thought, let's have a little play with some of our show archives. Enjoy.
We've got a great show lined up today. Back in November at the Wellbeing Symposium, which was held at the Kent Event Centre.
It was a very full day. Lots of information.
Heaving, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In fact, there was just too many people to go and see and speak to. We ran out of time.
So we're going next year, aren't we?
We are, yes. As long as we get invited back. And so, yes, there was talks from various people. We had a lineup of speakers before we then had various stands that we could then wander around to and have a go at some of the things, which I know we did post on Facebook. We did put that
the picture.
Smoothie
challenge.
We did.
My red shirt almost matched my red face after that.
I'm so glad I didn't get off that bike because I would have collapsed. My legs had definitely gone to jelly. And we spoke to a few people and got some interviews, so we're going to be playing those throughout the show. The speakers we heard from as the beginning of the symposium, we heard from Lord Howe, who spoke about the responsibility deal. He's our Parliamentary Under-Secretary of State in the Department of Health. So he talked about this responsibility deal and the various areas within that and how organisations can sign up to it. And it's very much about engaging businesses within the community of small businesses to link that with health, mental health at work, and just literally employees being healthy within the workplace. Yeah. So that was fascinating.
It's a free sign-up pledge.
Yes.
We'll be posting all the details on websites.
We're going to have a little
Facebook
notes page.
We are. But an interesting fact, he said, that there's 23 million days lost of working age people due to ill health.
That's just amazing.
And
but also she's a qualified nutritionist, and she spoke about various hints and tips, nutrition in the workplace.
The good breakfast, the bad breakfast.
Good start to the day or bad start to the day.
And Baroness Stedman Scott, OBE, she's the chief executive of Tomorrow's People, and that's a national employment charity. And she had a fascinating story about how she was invited into a doctor's surgery, a GP surgery, and they found that their returner sick people who they'd given medication to, they'd given counselling to, all sorts of things, and people were still having health problems. And they sent in some employment advisors, worked with them, and had a really good percentage return to work.
It did, yeah.
So lots of useful information there. Again, we'll post links onto Facebook and so on.
And one of the other speakers, he was great. The guy, he's a Shakespearean actor, Tom Malaburn. And he stood up and gave us this fantastic little presentation, headed up, To Be or Not to Be Affected by Mental Health 2013.
It sounded very bizarre when it was introduced.
And then he went off into the links with Hamlet and the... Now, what's the word? When they stand and do those bits, I can't remember, but he then did some little excerpts from Hamlet.
Got off stage.
That's the word, soliloquy. And wandered around. But it was fascinating then to sort of dissect it into how that links with everyday life now that we, general Joe public, experience. That was fantastic to hear that. And, of course, lots of speakers.
We did indeed.
Three of who we have up next.
We have here. So we're going to, in this next section, we've got three little interviews to play you. First one is actually a segment from our show that we played on 21st of October, show 28, week 32. It's Rory Murphy from Wellbeing People, and he's going to be explaining the background to the Wellbeing Symposium, how it came about.
Mm.
Then we'll be listening to Suzanne Stone of Golding Homes.
They were one of the sponsors, weren't they?
They were indeed, And Catherine Metters of Posturite, and they're an ergonomics and workplace supplier.
Those desks.
Sits down desking.
Hey! So let's play them.
So last year the event took place for the first time.
Yep.
Can you give us a bit of background on how that came together?
Well, as I'm sure a lot of your listeners have indicated, we're very proud of the work that we do. We're very proud of our Kent base, but we also want to spread the message.
Mm-hmm.
We produce a directory, which is on our website, which people can see. And the directory is kind of an important element of how we build our business and letting people know what we're doing. And then we thought, we come across so many fantastic people doing such good work. We'd worked with Dame Carol Black and Dr. Steve Borman from the Royal Mail, lots of other people that we spoke to. We thought what we ought to be having is a symposium, not a conference or or the old-fashioned seminar, but a symposium where people come together, listen to some experts, but then also engage through workshops. So we ran one last year in conjunction with Pillory Barn.
Right.
Another Kent company. Yeah. It was just such a phenomenal success. We were so pleased. And Carol Black was very gracious and agreed to come be our keynote speaker. We were very nervous about it. These things can fall flat on their face.
Sure.
There's always a temptation to run things in London or Birmingham or Manchester.
Yes.
But we felt very clearly that that we wanted to run it in Kent. We want to make, if you like, Kent and the M20, the corridor for health and wellbeing in the country, rather like the M4 is for Silicon.
Excellent.
And then we also have this little this joke amongst ourselves that when they started off Glastonbury concerts in a muddy field 30, 40 years ago, nobody wanted to go. It was very difficult for anyone to go. So we think, in the end, people want to flock to Detling to come to our health and wellbeing seminar. So this year, again, we've got the minister who deals with health and wellbeing in the country, Earl Howe, coming to speak. We're just so pleased. And we're up to over 350 people now coming. A lot local, but a lot from around the country as well, and some big blue chip companies as well. So it's a very exciting development. We've got 9 speakers from the leader of Kent County Council to an actor, and then there'll be 8 workshops in the afternoon. So we're really very excited about it. It's a full day, a lot going on, a lot of exhibitions, lots of opportunities to see things, but more importantly, to learn about how you can alter health and well-being, but not only in your company, but in your community and for you as an individual. So we've broken the symposium into 3 streams, if you like, the individual, community, and the workplace.
Well, here we are at the Wellbeing Symposium at the Kent Events Centre. We're having a fantastic time. Jan and I are eating out of house and home here. We've got some good advice to take home. It is healthy food and memory, apparently. Good for my memory. And we're here on the Golden Homes stand.
Yep.
And, of course, they are one of the big sponsors of today.
Okay.
And Suzanne. I have pronounced that correctly.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Suzanne, tell us, what do you do? What are all the involvements here with health and wellbeing?
We're Golden Homes, the largest social landlord in Maidstone, certainly, and South East. And as well as the bricks and mortar side of looking and being a landlord, we think it's really important on the community development side to support certain themes. And one of our themes for the last couple of years and next year is health and wellbeing, and how that really affects the person's whole positivity in life. It affects children's outcomes, so I feel it's really important to kind of get behind an event like this at higher level, but also on the ground, which is where I work, actually out in the community delivering projects that are benefits. So
what sort of projects do you get involved in?
Oh, I can range from a whole, I can be in school one day teaching reality babies and cyber babies to boys or girls years 9 or 10 or 11. We did an event recently where we were out microchipping dogs to let them know about being responsible dog owners, picking up their fouling. It can be at big corporate events like this. So it really is wide and varied.
So
I love my job.
Your job is very varied.
Yes.
Suzanne's got a great grin on her face. She loves what she does.
I do. I've worked for Golden Homes for 5 years, 2 years in the support side, and I've come over to community development, and it really is. Whereas a lot of people are having their funds cut, we've got quite a healthy project to be able to go and deliver projects that are really needed in the community. So,
excellent.
Really good.
You and I were talking earlier about the Access events that you run.
Yeah, it's going to be the 3rd year next year. It's an Access for All event. It is what it says on the tin. We try and get a range of stall holders there that have any support to offer anybody with any kind of disability, so be it mental health, physical health, an actual disability. The event is next year, 28th of June at Maidstone Market.
Oh, great.
People can have a stand completely free of charge. There's no entrance fee to come in, and hopefully it's just about giving people support and letting them know of activities and clubs and support that's out there no matter what your disability is.
So if people wanted to do this and get involved and have a stand,
would
they be contacting you directly?
If they want to contact me, suzanne.stone@goldinghomes.org.uk, or just phone our free phone number, and then they get a message to me and I can book you a place on that stall.
And are you looking to support people in Maidstone, or is it wider Kent?
No, it's wider Kent. Golden Homes does have a plan for inorganic growth to go out and spread. We've recently purchased some properties down in Ashford, Chatham, so we are looking at branching out, so no, it's across Kent.
Right.
Excellent.
That's great.
So we'll be posting more about that event close to the time. And if you have any other events that are coming up and you want people to know about, let us know.
Excellent. We'll do.
But lovely to meet you today.
And thank you too. Thank you very much.
We've just come off the smoothie bike, so I need to lie down, I think. But I've nabbed Catherine. Catherine Messers from Posturite. So I'm now standing correctly. Because I see that you have this notice on the wall behind us that says sit stand desk.
Yeah. Well, sit stand desk is a desk which electrically will move at a button from a certain height to another height, so you can work either sitting or standing, or possibly even perching in between. You may have noticed that recently there's been quite a lot of research published about how inactivity, so sitting, is so bad for us.
So if I press a button, does my chair go up as well?
Unfortunately not. But there we go. We don't want you to sit doing what you're saying. We want you to be more active. I mean, we're not suggesting that you should be standing all day, because obviously that has its own problems.
Indeed.
But to have the ability to change position, stimulate your circulation, improve your respiration, one could go on about it. But the sad reality in most office environments, people are being inactive for about 19 hours a day.
That's quite a lot of hours.
It's a lot of hours. And they're suggesting that could take about 2 years off your life.
Which actually brings my thoughts in around people that then do the exercise, I'll go to the gym, or I'll start running, and I'll do marathons. And we hear of people having heart attacks during a marathon, and perhaps they're going from nothing to this massive amount of training, and it's a bit of, hang on, the body's not used to that.
Yeah, I think there was a degree of that. I think we're not saying that you shouldn't be doing exercise, shouldn't be going to the
Please
gym.
Please continue doing your training.
Or anything in between.
Indeed.
But it is, we're talking about activity rather than just exercise, which in a way for people like me that get home, sit down, feel a bit lazy and it's a bit cold outside and I can't get myself to the gym, the thought of actually just being active during the day is good enough.
It is.
Actually, it's quite refreshing because I'm often feeling a bit guilty about not getting out and doing that. So I think it's a good news thing, the fact that we're now looking at humans are best if they're active, not necessarily having to do your prescribed marathons or gym
work. Yes, or feeling that it's to add on.
Exactly, and it also doesn't cost you anything more to be active. And what we're trying to do with our sit-stand desks is to allow people to be easily active in the office.
Yes.
It is difficult if you have a desk and a chair to be active in the office. I mean, you can do a lot yourself, but it does require a bit more effort.
Walk to the other photocopier or the other coffee machine, or go downstairs to the coffee machine. But it's also time. It's a time management issue.
It is time, and sometimes in some situations, managers are thinking, if you're not at your desk, are you working? And we've got to get away from that.
We presenteeism this morning at the event.
Yeah.
But the concept of sitting down is that, presumably, even in the afternoons, we're encouraging people, if they're standing, there's that oxygen flow to the brain, so more productivity, more focus.
Yes, and we are beginning to get research to back it all up. I think we've known for a long time we should be doing this, but we're beginning now to see the sort of, the research that's showing, looking into blood sugar regulation, and we are seeing that you are better regulated if you are standing more. A nice fact for me, I think, is the fact that if you stand, you're burning about 50 extra calories an hour.
I heard that.
8 pounds of flesh a year. Now, that's going to be a bonus, isn't it?
Do you get people coming to you saying, right, you want to do away with our desks and our seats, we're just going to stand up all day now?
We haven't had that yet, but I suspect it will come. And I think it's again about saying, just look at what you're asking people to do. Let's look at ways of making them more active. And actually, if you have to be in front of computers, maybe giving them tools to go up and down is the way to go.
Yeah.
But maybe work in a different way. Do they actually have to be in front of a computer 8 hours a day? Because sometimes I think that there are other ways of working.
It's like other forms of communication, isn't it, rather than just email.
Yeah.
So types of organisations you work with, is it predominantly within Kent, or are you across the globe?
No, we're biggest UK organisation, but we are starting to work globally, and we do have contacts actually in most countries, or most countries with large office-based organisations. And people are really beginning to start to talk about wellness now, not just about, how do we fulfil our requirements and that sort of thing. So it's exciting times. So I think in the last 18 months, we're really beginning to see quite a difference.
It's great. It is, as you say, moving away from just the ticking a box exercise to really thinking about these approaches and what we can actually do for our staff.
Yeah.
Great. So posture. And of course, if I'm sole trader, one woman business or one man business, could still contact you?
Oh, yes. Yes, we get lots of individuals contacting us as well as lots of businesses. There's a lot of also education material on our website if you're interested.
Which is, for our listeners,
www.posturite.co.uk.
Brilliant. And we'll post that on our Facebook pages too.
Yeah.
It's been a delight to speak to you. Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you.
For rushing away. I encourage you to use the Swiggy bike. Fantastic.
We'll
I'm going to collapse now.
Now it's time to think about a good song, and I've chosen Ronan Keating. I know some of you may be sitting there yawning now, but I chose a great track which sums up really how I try to live my life. It's called Lovin' Each Day.
Come on, yeah. Come on, yeah. My heart's just a prison, so I'm open and wishing that, girl, I'm forgiven. Say yeah, yeah. Cause every time you leave me, I'm sad. The moment you're returning, I'm glad. So let's not go forgetting what we have. Cause it's bad. Said you're leaving, but now you're by my side. That's not right, cause you're right. Every time I lose you, I'm lost. The more you rush me, girl, there's just us. Cause anything without you's just a blast. Baby, trust.
Welcome back to Who Cares Wins Radio. We're listening to various interviews we had with people, speakers at the Wellbeing Symposium back in November. And I want one of those desks, Jan. I'd like to play going up and down, up and down.
We've heard other Channel Radio's shows get gifts,
yeah.
Like
Jules
on Scoff and Quatch gets food. So we're starting small. We'd like furniture.
Well, it's just the season to the jolly. Maybe we could have, you know, little Santa Claus giving us gifts.
Absolutely.
The sit-stand desk.
Oh, and I love these pictures in the British Heart Foundation's 10 Tasty Tips. Yes. I just love this book. And this little chap, you can't see it, listener, but there's a little cup with like a blob sort of hanging on the side of the cup because you can't quite reach it. But it's all about giving your children a booster seat to make sure they sit properly when they're eating.
And so can digest properly and that sort of thing.
So I just think the pictures are fantastic.
And we got that was from the British Heart Foundation stand. And we spoke to Kim Broffey, who's their fundraising volunteer manager. So she's our first interview coming up.
And then I also went and spoke to, of course, my passion, Leo Bunyard from the Maidstone Yoga Centre. She talked to me about MyYogaTutor.com, which is launching in 2014.
Okay. And then last one for this segment.
Yeah, Liz Armand. Lovely lady. And her business is called Insightful Minds. And I'll let you hear what it's all about.
Welcome, Kim.
Thank you.
And you're from the British Heart Foundation.
Yes, I am. I'm the community fundraiser for Kent and the East Sussex area for the BHF.
Excellent. And you've got a couple of campaigns on the go at the moment?
We have. I'm absolutely thrilled to be here today as part of the symposium because Maidstone has joined up with British Heart Foundation to become an official heart town.
Aww.
So effectively working
with... The beating heart of Kent.
Absolutely. working with the local partners and the community really to improve people's health and hopefully to fundraise for the BHF to continue our work.
Excellent. And how long has that been going?
We signed up in February, which was part of our sort of anniversary of our campaign for fundraising in February. We've got another one coming up next year. So it's just been a few months and we're starting to do things in a really different way.
Excellent. So are you getting youth clubs and local organisations to sign up?
I'm constantly impressed with what we do as an organisation at BHF. We have the most fantastic resources, all free of charge, for clubs, groups, schools. We do health at work initiatives and obviously working with companies. We ask that people perhaps think about fundraising for us so we can continue to provide those for free. But lots of our school resources, for example, fit in to the national curriculum. So effectively they actually fit with the actual timetable rather than an additional thing the teachers have to try and fit in.
And one of your events, I just noticed there was a leaflet that I was looking at, your lovely red table, and you've got this Ramp Up the Red.
Yes, we have.
Friday the 7th of February, so that's next year.
Yes.
2014.
Yeah, starting to look at this already. Effectively, it's our focus in February. We look at trying to raise as much money as possible and to make it as fun and easy for people to do that. So the Ramp Up the Red actually has its own website.
Great.
And you can sign up and register for a pack straight away. You'll get your information through and you'll get your pack in January. Lots of ideas, very easy to do, whether it's raising £20 or £200, it all gives you the ideas to do that.
And that's the website would be?
It's www.bhf.org.uk/red.
Nice
one.
I like that.
Well, on our normal website, you'll find links for it as well, BHF.
And you mentioned freebies. You showed us the magazine.
Yes. One of our initiatives we have with the Heart Town Partnership, and available obviously for everybody, is our Heart Matters. It's a magazine that comes out bi-monthly, completely free, delivered straight to your letterbox, or you can have a downloadable version. You just have to, again, go online to sign up. Fabulous resource, lots of brilliant recipes. There's information for people that do have heart conditions, but there's also information about managing lifestyle changes, improving your heart health, updates on perhaps medications, all very, very plain jargon, very easy to understand.
But excellent, it's free of charge.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
One sees magazines and is like, oh, I won't look at it because I can't afford it. And
yeah, it is a very, very good publication.
Do you have people, though, that would put entries in, therefore giving you some funding if they wanted to advertise it?
That would perhaps come under our publications department.
Right.
We do obviously work with corporate partners, and sometimes there's some advertising in there that is part of a corporate relationship already.
And hey, look at this, get fit for free.
That's what we like.
That's what we like to hear. Yeah.
Putting it in with the normal daily stuff, not having to actually slog to the gym every day.
Yeah. Rah, rah, she's on my pad, that's what I'm all about. Great stuff. Ditch the diet. We like this magazine. I like
something
I'm
for
my
everyone.
Best friend now, listener.
Something for everyone.
And 10 Tasty Tips is the other thing I picked up. I thought this was great. It's a tiny little pocketbook.
Yes.
10 Tasty Tips for happy and healthy mealtimes.
Yep. Encouraging children to eat more of their five a day, little ideas.
It's quite nicely done.
It is. And you can't see it, listener, but there's these great photos. There's a little cup with a little blob hanging on a cup of tea or something there, and a banana and an apple.
All of the resources that we have, they've actually got a little code at the back of the book. And again, if you go online, you can see all of the publications, and you can just order yourself a free booklet. Again,
this one has a print code of G589.
That's it.
That have done a run. Great North Run I did for British
Heart. Fantastic. Well done. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I've come to a stand and I've come to talk to Leo, my yoga tutor. Leo, tell me a bit more about my yoga tutor.
Well, it started because my colleague and myself have got a centre in Maidstone.
Great.
She actually owns it. I work there.
Whereabouts in Maidstone?
It's underneath Lidl and Matalan. So it's on the other side of the river to the High Street.
Mm.
It's a specialist yoga centre that's fully equipped. It has mats, blocks, belts. We have ropes.
That's painful.
Oh, it's dreadful, dreadful. No, it's not at all.
Right.
We have ropes and slings so that we can help people who have perhaps injuries or problems and they can't get into the yoga poses with the normal methods.
Yes.
So it assists people therapeutically, but also the props are there to help them get better poses.
Yes.
So we started out there and after a little while there, our ambitions got ahead of ourselves. We decided that it would be really good to bring a practice site, first of all, to our students and then to a wider audience.
Right.
So we have been in the process of setting up myyogatutor.com,
right,
which will be launching, we hope, at the beginning of 2014.
Excellent.
And this will be an online practice site, but it's going to be structured more like a language course.
Okay.
So people will do a flex test that will enable them to assess which path they need to take.
Right.
One path will be without props, basically.
Yes.
And the other will be with props. So it will enable most people to get into most of the poses in a way that's beneficial to them.
Yes.
So that they can get the benefits of each of the poses rather than just attempting to make some semblance of a shape that actually
not right.
might not be all that comfortable for them.
Yes.
So the idea is that all of this is set up as a steady structured progression. So you'll have a diary, you'll go on, you'll be told where to start, you'll be told what class to take next, and you'll hopefully by the end of 6 months or a year be able to look back at your progress and see where you were, how far you've come and where you've got to.
Brilliant. So like a little journal really, or a great journey. And my understanding, you would be coming to the classes, you would encourage them to look at classes
absolutely
as well?
If they can, obviously being an internet facility, people may not be close to Maidstone,
sure,
but we would always encourage them to find a really good yoga teacher locally to them,
yes,
and to use this as their practice,
yes,
as opposed to their main learning resource, because nothing beats having a teacher looking at you and adjusting you and telling you where you're going right, where you're going wrong,
yes,
and what needs to be done to improve your pose, to make it more therapeutic for you, beneficial for you.
Mm.
So, yes, we would always advise people to go to a regular class and to use this as an adjunct. But there are people for whom that's not possible.
It's not possible, no.
So, you know, that for those people, this is an option. I'd rather people did some yoga than no yoga at all.
Yes.
Obviously, we'd love everybody to come to the centre if we could accommodate everybody in the world. We would take them, but not everybody can.
No.
And, you know, through cost or through home circumstances or family commitments, they perhaps are unable to commit to a regular class. So this just enables those people to access it as well.
Right. And I noticed you were giving out today the yoga for the office. You were talking to people about the handout you had and encouraging people to think about yoga for the office.
Well, we're great believers in doing yoga whenever and wherever you can.
Mm.
Of course, we'd all love to do an hour and a half yoga in the morning and have a beautiful space in which to, you know, time-wise and space-wise, to do our yoga in the morning. We'd love that. It isn't a reality for most people.
No.
Therefore, you need to do your yoga when and where you can. So yoga for the office just enables you to counterbalance perhaps the unhappy postures that you're adopting whilst you're hunched over your computer, while you're driving, while you're doing all those things that we do in everyday life that stiffen our shoulders, make our backs sore, all those things. So these are just little exercises
you
that
can't
people
see it,
can
listener,
do.
But there's these great little stick men and stick women. I'm going to be friendly on both sexes. That are looking at using the desk, using the chair, so you don't even have to have any particular fancy props. You're utilising the equipment in the office environment, so it's absolutely great. And if they want to get hold of you, Leo, what's the best way if they want to contact you?
The best way is to go on to the Maidstone Yoga Centre site. If you type into Google Maidstone Yoga Centre, then it will come up as your first option.
Great. Or any reputable search engine, of course.
Or any reputable search engine, absolutely.
Or, of course, presumably your website.
Or once we're launched, which is, as I say, hopefully going to be early in 2014, myyogatutor.com is the online site. But we will have links to both sites, you know, through each of them. So they are going to be inextricably linked.
Right. So if I go to one,
found
I'll
one,
be able to find the other.
Yes, absolutely.
And perhaps we could have you on the show to talk more in detail with the launch or near the launch.
We would love to. We would love to. Come and have a chat, Angela. That
would
be lovely.
Thank you so much for your time, Leo. It's brilliant to meet you.
That's quite all right. Thank you.
So we're having a sit-down now after we've been walking around and listening to lots of different people at this wonderful wellbeing symposium. Mm-hmm. And I've now found a wonderful lady. Hello, Liz. Liz Almond from Insightful Minds. I'm intrigued. Insightful Minds.
Insightful Minds is, you know, relatively new business. It's been going a couple of years.
Fantastic. Well done. Congratulations.
Yep, yes. It's come about from being, I was working in education for a long time. Being a teacher trainer, so just 2 years ago, but had two very different lives. So when I was actually at college, I was being very straightforward, very logical, just observing lessons, being me,
yes,
in that logical way. But actually away from the college, I was actually developing my holistic side and actually developing me much more. So I was a coach at the college and was coaching them to start to improve their performance in the classroom and acted as a teacher trainer.
Yes.
But the last 2 years I've actually been running my business, which is now award winning. I've won the Kent Independent Trader Award 2012 and 13 for health and beauty business.
Congratulations. Yes, yeah. We were talking about the Kent Independent Trader Award a couple of shows ago. So
right.
Well done.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that.
Yeah.
Very proud moment.
Yeah, so my business is all around helping individuals overcome stress, anxiety, depression, mental health issues,
right.
But very much looking at a person's spiritual path in life,
yes,
and actually understanding how different things which have happened in the past can actually be playing a part in your life now,
sure,
and how to let those sort of emotional issues go. My approach is very much that my clients are my learners,
aww,
so I'm actually teaching my clients techniques to be able to change. So whether that's self-hypnosis or being empowered to Reiki, to do Reiki on themselves, or emotional freedom technique,
yes,
or learning about cognitive behavioural therapy.
Oh yes, the CBT.
All different things to change mindset. But by changing mindset, you can actually make yourself healthier.
Yes, indeed.
And
we've
also
done tapping, haven't we, Jan? The old EFT, we did the tapping.
Yeah.
So yes, we wouldn't say that we're experts, but
we had a go. That's right. To change things.
Indeed.
So Insightful Minds is a business which is all around empowering happiness and health.
And whereabouts are you based then?
So I'm in Maidstone.
Yes.
I have a therapy room in Coxheath, but I will travel to businesses to work in business, but I'll also do home visits if people need me to. So if somebody has a long-term health issue, for example, ME, chronic fatigue, chronic pain, then I will actually work with those individuals to help them improve their health.
Fantastic.
Because my journey, as we talked about before, was that I had chronic pain syndrome myself 15 years ago following an accident. I had 2 years off work.
Wow.
But actually what was part of that was I changed my mindset to be much more positive to get myself out of it, whereas actually statistics show that once you've had 15 weeks off work, you're unlikely to go back to work. But I realise now that it's all around changing my mindset.
Yes, we heard today that encouragement.
I was a very quiet individual as a child and very not willing to speak out. I was always unconfident, very anxious person. And so always stayed in the background on lots of different things in life. That actually affected my health, the fact that of how I was interacting in life. What I've done is by learning 7 different therapies, 5 of them I'm a master practitioner in, I see a very big picture about health and how to change it holistically and actually to be about being yourself, being totally grounded and centred as a person means that you actually will be much healthier. Teach mindfulness.
We need to talk more, Liz. Yeah. And perhaps we could have you on the show. We'll talk about maybe you coming and joining us so we can go into some of this in a little bit more depth. But it's been great to meet you. If people want to have a look at your site, have a website people could look at?
Yeah, it's www.insightfulminds.co.uk.
Insightfulminds.co.uk. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for your time, Liz.
Okay.
Change for Life is about making changes to be healthier, like getting our 5 a day. It's not hard. Often we're halfway there and don't realise it, like a banana in our cereal, glass of fruit juice at breakfast or veg in our soup. Even tinned, dried and frozen count. It's easy to be food smart. For tasty 5-a-day ideas and recipes for cheap, healthier meals, search Change for Life online.
Channel Radio.
Welcome back to Who Cares Wins Radio. You're tuned in on channelradio.co.uk and we're playing various interviews from the Wellbeing Symposium back in November. So Jan, I'd like to test you now on your yoga postures. According to myyogatutor.com or the Maidstone Yoga Centre, this lovely sheet.
Okay.
So I need you to inhale deeply and relax into the spine and now lifting your knee up to your chest. Hold with 3 breaths. Do keep breathing though, Jan. Maybe we'll move on, listener.
I take things very literally. You have to give me instructions.
You can see why I'm not a tutor yet. So we have the final 3.
We have the final famous three. And at the end of the day, I caught up with Annie Cooper, who is an independent consultant, and she likes to improve workplace performance through people well-being.
Oh.
So brilliant strap line, that one. And then I spoke to David Jensen of the RBLI. That's the Royal British Legion Industries. So not the poppy people.
Oh, right.
This is still a charity, but it's about workplace, corporate responsibility and the like.
Ooh, maybe he's going to be a guest on the show too. We talked about that. And, of course, we finish off with hearing from the marvellous Ben McGannon, the Managing Director of Wellbeing People, whose company co-hosted the event. And, of course, we caught up with him to say how he found it, his second one.
Thanking him for having us.
Absolutely. And our goodie bags. I like my goodie bag.
So I'm here at the Wellbeing Symposium, and I bumped into Annie Cooper. Hello, Annie.
Hi.
And I see from your card that you do improving workplace performance.
I do.
Is that what's brought you to today's symposium?
Yeah, very much so. I set up my own business this year, having run a regional wellbeing programme through the NHS.
Right.
And it's a thing close to my heart, because I've seen how much difference, you know, fitness, wellbeing, how you feel, that impacts so much on work and work and productivity. So it's really important to businesses and as well as to individuals.
So relatively new this year, are your clients in Kent or are they UK-wide?
Well, it's only Kent.
World domination on the horizon.
Yes, absolutely. All different kinds of clients. I'm open for all sorts of things. I've got a background in the NHS as well as in higher education.
Right.
So I'm quite interested in developing training packages. I've done some of that through big lottery work.
Okay.
Okay. And also workshops and actually working with small businesses or organisations to actually help them with their own wellbeing programme.
So if there's an employer sitting listening to this at the moment and he or she thinks, well, okay, but what is wellbeing in the workplace? How can I improve performance? Nugget, top tips? Where would you start?
Top tips are keep it simple.
Right.
Think about what you're doing as a business and how the wellbeing agenda can actually help you as a business. And then just pull out top three things in relation to the people you are employing. What's going to work for you as a business and what's going to work for them and make their lives better and overall your business better.
Okay. And if you had an ideal client, you could snap your fingers and that was your ideal client in front of you.
Oh, gosh. Well, my ideal client, of course, would be pursuing me and saying, you know, let's get wellbeing on this agenda. I would love actually helping to enable that to happen in an organisation or a business because it does make such a difference to people's lives and I've seen that kind of difference. So,
and have you enjoyed today? Did you get
I've had a brilliant day today. I've met loads of people. The housing sector is something I've learned a lot about today.
Yeah.
And that's been really important just to understand really the kind of connections we need to be making there in relation to wellbeing. So that's my big learning. And I've made loads of new kind of friends today.
Excellent. Thank you for your time, Annie.
Okay, thank you.
So I'm here at the Wellbeing Symposium and I bumped into David Jensen of Royal British Legion Industries. And how have you found today?
Well, it's very interesting because we play in this health and wellbeing space a little bit. We're the largest independent provider of ergonomic assessments in the UK through the Access to Work programme.
Right. Yeah.
But we also have a whole variety of social enterprise activities that we're involved in. In fact, I joined the charity from the private sector just 6 months ago.
Oh, so
and I keep walking around saying we're the best kept secret in Britain because it really is a remarkable organisation. And within our operations, more than 50% of the people we employ are either disabled or ex-military or both. So when I was looking at the opportunity of attending the workshops this afternoon, one of them was around corporate social responsibility. And it seems to me, as a marketing, head of marketing for RBLI, that it's very obvious we should be trying to sell our activities to organisations that are keen on the CSR agenda. And there's a new operation set up called the Exchange, the big exchange for Maidstone, which is connecting businesses with charities and how they can help each other, really as part of delivering the slightly maligned concept of the big society. And, of course, it's an enormous opportunity. And for me, it was fascinating because I could see that we could play on both sides of the fence. On the one hand, as a social enterprise, we could offer our print, mail and fulfillment business services to other charities at a discounted rate.
Right, yes.
What is incredible is that every organisation in Britain does masses of printing and quite a lot of them do a lot of mailing and fulfilling, but nobody's ever heard of us to come and buy it from us. So it's a great opportunity for us to showcase that capability. It's a great opportunity for us to showcase our HR services out to other charities, but also, of course, to other businesses. Today we do interim management, executive search, strategic leadership development, executive coaching, and the health and wellbeing piece. And it's a great opportunity for us to promote and yell about our marketing services, everything from strategic brand development through to design, graphic design, implementation. So that's what we could offer as an enterprise. As a charity, what do we want? Because, of course, we want to get as many volunteers involved in our business as possible. So, absolutely fantastic. We are building a memorial garden for our centenary at our site in Aylesford. So all those people who love gardening out there, who live nearby, get in touch.
Right.
The first committee meeting for the memorial garden was this morning, actually. I should have been there, but I had to be here, so I couldn't be in two places at once.
So is there a phone number or a website that people can
They can contact the marketing department at RBLI in Aylesford, 01622 795 900. We'll welcome their call.
Okay, we'll post that onto our Facebook page for you.
Fantastic.
Okay.
The other thing we would be looking for help for is volunteers, either on an intermittent or occasional basis. We need to do masses of research around the grants that we can get and help with appeals and fundraising activities that we're involved in, because we don't go and rattle tins on the street.
No.
That's the Royal British Legion, who are a separate sister charity to us.
Right.
We're a social enterprise charity,
okay.
So we do apply for grants. And the third thing that we could definitely do with help on is expertise.
Right.
So we produce magazines, three magazines, four times a year. And part of my mission is to increase the production values of those magazines. And we don't have that capability in-house.
So you're looking for people to write columns or
articles? Yeah, for us to achieve that would be terribly expensive to go outside to a professional to deliver that. So what I'm interested in doing is identifying people, maybe it's somebody like at the Kent Messenger Group, they may have a junior come in who needs to learn about layouts and that kind of thing. What a great training opportunity for them, and they could help us lift our production values while they're training their staff. Or you might have people who can donate their time helping to sell some advertising space in our magazines, or writing articles, or getting PR out there.
So if our listeners support any of those talents or interests, they can get in touch with the same number?
Absolutely. Yep, right. Come through to the marketing department. We're looking for volunteers for all sorts of things. And, of course, we won't be able to accommodate everybody. Because I'm sure there'll be some brilliant people out there who say, oh, they could do with my great skills. Well, possibly we wouldn't be the right charity for everybody to help. So there's lots of things going on. And we love meeting talented people. And everybody in the room can do something that nobody else can do.
Absolutely.
So there's lots of room.
Give us that number one more time.
So 01-622-795-900. Ask the marketing department, and James will be very pleased to help you.
That's
my colleague. He'll be there all the time.
Okay. Sorry, James. Thank you for your time,
David. Not at all. Thank you.
And our final interview was, of course, we needed to catch up with Ben McGannon, the Managing Director of Wellbeing People.
And we wanted to catch a few words with you before we all disappear back to our other lives. And the Wellbeing Symposium today, compared to last year, how have you found it?
Fantastic. I mean, it's been a really exciting day. The number of people, obviously, is up on last year, which was the first barometer a measurement of success. I think also we had an amazing array of speakers last year, but the fact that Dame Carol Black went away and encouraged Earl Howe to be here today as well kind of speaks volumes of last year's experience and the fact that we've moved it forward again this year. And I thought the speakers, Baroness Stephen Scott, David Orr, Amanda Ursula, I thought it was really fantastic. So
very passionate as well, which is quite
yes, good. Yeah. And I think one of the challenges of the event is around the individual, the community, and the workplace. And I thought the blend of speakers, and then Tom Malaburn tying that all together through Hamlet.
Yes.
Which is a bit of a risk, but it seems that
so well.
The feedback that we've had has been
yes,
a great day,
really,
really enjoyed it. I've had a few people say, you know, loved last year, and this has moved it on, so fantastic. So, yes, hopefully the litmus test is everyone else's experience, but from where I've seen it, the workshops have been well attended, people have been speaking well of it, and
we had a go at the smoothie bites but in going around and talking to people, the one thing that struck me, and a lot of people said it, is the fact that they've come from one background and they've heard something from another background today.
Yeah.
Whereas ordinary, like the housing and the wellbeing at work, that would normally be two separate conferences.
Yeah.
And to bring them together is just a genius idea, because it's making that people now think outside the box.
Yeah.
And how they can either take their businesses into another form that they were not thinking of, or how they can bring somebody into their own business to help out. So is that your idea?
I won't take the credit for the whole idea. No, I think as a team we identified, I guess in reality, our journey to wellbeing people started 6 or 7 years ago. And it started in our own company as Water for Work for ourselves, for our staff, and evolved into something that we started to kind of understand that engaging in prevention was an issue that we wanted to tackle as a business. And the reality of that is, and the engaged prevention business model that we've developed, can't work without partnership. Because unless you are doing all parts of everything, you know, if we can put somebody through an interactive health chaos, but we're not their GP, we're not the NHS, we're not a nutritional therapy company, we can't do all of those things. So we've evolved and grown our business to kind of plug gaps for customers, because they'll have one part of it or another part or two or three parts. So the concept really came out of our own experience that the only way to solve problems was working in partnership. And working with Golding here in Maidstone and Kent County Council and the borough has been a journey that we set out to try and develop best practice. And the only way to develop that is to get everyone talking about it and sharing it. And having Paul Carter here today is a commitment from Kent County Council that this is an important agenda that they understand. I'd love to take credit for the idea, but it's an evolution that's come about a lot of hard work from a lot of people. So. Okay.
And the video that we had, the snippet of, clip.
The Really campaign.
Yeah, the Really campaign. That's really starting now, isn't it? They're gaining the momentum behind that now.
Yeah, I mean, that project, and really the reason I highlighted it, has been born out of the Golding Education Corps partnership and work with loads of partners. So last night we had the final test screen in front of 170 people, including young people. We had from the youth kids, we have pretty much every school in Maidstone represented. We had Bacon's College down from Rotherhithe, who we'd also partnered in some of the research for the project. We've worked with the specialists from Kent County Council, Maidstone Borough Council, from Public Health, from Education, and the where we're at now is that we have an hour and 20 minutes of film that in its final edit will be around 50 minutes to an hour. Mm-hmm. That then will form the basis of what we build the resource pack around, which will then evolve into PSAT training modules for teachers to be able to see the film, learn how they're going to use it with other teachers and talk about their school versus other schools. So where we're at now is the film is there, the resource pack is built, but after the test screen we're now taking all the feedback and developing that, and we'll actually have a small committee of around 8 to 10 people, again from various different skill sets and backgrounds, who will help guide that to its finished product, if you like. And as part of Golding's project, that will go free to every school in Maidstone. But the challenge that we were set was that it needed to be something that could be sold nationally, and the proceeds from the sales to develop the next film in the series. It's really exciting, and I mean, just last night alone, to have the feedback from PSHE staff, from health professionals, from children, teenagers who were, and some of the teenagers' responses that I read last night were just like, you know, these are issues that affect me and nobody talks about it in this way, it's fantastic.
Opening up those avenues, as you say, a bit like with the Hamlet example, opening up those channels of the communication that we can talk about this is possible.
Yeah, and again, I mean, they came about from a group of partners sitting around talking about what the biggest problems were. In Maidstone, particularly, the focus around teenage pregnancy and teenage conception, realising that couldn't just be dealt with in isolation, so it needed to be embedded in PSHE, realising that's really sensitive, that there's lots of issues around it, and you can't just go off on your own and do something like that.
Sorry, for our listeners, PSHE is...
Now,
spotlight
on them. Got me. I can't, the acronym,
right. Well,
I'll get it wrong if I do it. It's social, economic, and yeah, tripped me up on the acronym.
We need to put that in our quiz.
We do.
Yeah. And actually, it's a funny one because it's often referred to as PHSE because most people get the acronym wrong.
Okay.
And because the acronym is so commonly used, but it's all about the issues around social and health and
education, there must be something
economic and how it impacts. So it is things like bullying, drugs, alcohol, teenage pregnancies, sexual orientation. But the acronym is so widely used that I will put my hands up. Like, oh, let's get it wrong. So,
fair enough.
Rory was right. You were
destined
to trip me up.
No.
Wait till I see
it. One thing I'd like to finish on is going back to something you said up on stage, and I think it was a great message for everyone here, is that, in a way, today it's not about stopping here, is it?
No.
And for our listeners who were here and had the privilege to listen to you, if you would share that quote that encouraged us all to continue
asking questions or around questioning, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was the two of the questions from the audience which really related to, you know, some of the things they heard and asking whether or not we've got something that could work and how do we get that moved on. And I think the answer is that don't give up. Keep talking, talk to more partners, the David Orr thing of meet somebody new today, have a conversation and come together over something, because something like the Really Project has probably been 2 years in the making. Something like the symposium, the idea was sort of 4 years ago and this is our second one now, and actually there's lots of knockbacks, there's lots of people who'll tell you why you can't do things, why there's no budget, why you know the wrong people to be talking to. And again, was it Baroness Edmund Scott that talked about the two government departments?
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
There she is.
Yeah, but she's still going strong. And yeah, and she said, I'll find another way in.
That's it. And there's so many reasons to give up. And I think the thing is, if you believe in something, keep asking, keep pushing, keep trying. Because eventually you get it. That's coming up.
Philosophy. Well, I'm so glad you came.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this again is the start of a long journey. So there's plenty to do. So.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. Looking forward to the next.
Thank you for being up here. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Channel Radio.
Welcome back to Who Cares Wins radio show. Yes, that was a repeat from our activities and our interviews that we took when we were down at the Wellbeing Symposium, which was last November. Can't believe it's coming round so quick. The next one is November the 19th at the Kent Event Centre up at Detling, just outside Maidstone in Kent. So we hope to be there and interviewing some more interesting people. So we hope you enjoyed that repeat. And I have got a couple of events that I just want to give a quick shout out about before I disappear for another week. Remember, Marcia was on our show a while back. Marcia from Abbey Place Clinic in Faversham in Kent. And they're running a practitioner course for TFT, the Tapping Algorithm, if I can speak, practitioner 2-day training. And that's going to be held on the 12th and 13th of September from 9:30 a.m. through to 5 p.m. And they're going to hold it at the Abbey Place Clinic, which is in Abbey Place, Faversham in Kent, the number 5, the chapel it's called. If you want to book then, I would suggest either contact Marcia Tillman on 01795 538 480, or her mobile is 07739 263 771. Or there is a web form if you go to their website, which is allthewsdotcounselling-directory.org.uk/counselor email. So that's counselloremail_224233.html. And also remember Disability North, they're holding their largest living exhibition, DNEX, at Newcastle Racecourse on Wednesday the 17th and Thursday the 18th of September. DNEX, I can't get my teeth in today, is open daily from 10 a.m. and it's a must-attend event. There's something for everyone, including digital technology, aids and adaptations for independent living and accessible leisure facilities. It's a free exhibition providing information, advice and equipment for disabled people, older adults, carers and health and social care professionals on a range of disability-related issues. So if you're around on the 17th, 18th of September up in Newcastle, then pop along. Website that is disabilitynorth.org.uk/dnex.html. And a quick reminder, our show will be moving in September to a new show time of 12 noon. So we've got a lunchtime slot. Brilliant, exciting stuff. And that's the 15th of September, so mark it in your diaries if you haven't already. And we'll be back next week. Have a good week, everyone. Take care.
to tell my load. From the dark end of the street to the bright side of the road. And into this life we're born with a sometime. Sometime we don't know why.